We're starting chapter 3. And chapter 3 is going to focus on the illnesses of the soul. And again, the Rambam is trying to develop the parts of the soul and the understanding of the soul that will help us in developing our traits. So the ancients would say that the soul can be healthy and the soul can be ill, just as the body can be healthy and the body can be ill. And the healthiness of the soul is that its traits and the different parts of the nefesh are going to be tuned in a fashion that they'll always be doing good actions and kindness and correct actions. And the nefesh that is ill is a nefesh whose traits and the traits of the different parts of the nefesh are that it will always do bad things and it will do harmful things and actions which are to be looked down upon. When it comes to healing the body, so we leave it to the doctors to research how you heal a body. And just as when we discuss a person who is ill physically, we compare it to a person that has lost sensation, that what should be, taste sweet sometimes tastes bitter, and what should taste bitter sometimes tastes sweet. And the things that he would usually find pleasurable, he thinks are not. And sometimes he wants things desperately that no one else would want. Sometimes you have people who want to drink pickle juice. Okay? You have people who want to drink vinegar. So you have people who want to eat hay. People who want to eat dirt. Kids, sometimes when they're missing iron, will eat sand. Certain minerals that kids are lacking will cause them to have a great desire to eat sand. Doctors today know to look out for that. If a parent tells doctor, my son loves to eat sand, so they know that he's missing certain minerals. If they say, my son loves to eat paint, so they know he's missing other minerals. There are things that kids naturally, after they taste, they recognize that it's giving them something they need, and therefore, if they're missing certain things in their body, then they'll be attracted to that. And the Rambam says that so too, just like a person who's ill or is missing something physically will be driven to eating and consuming things that a healthy person would not, so too a person who is ill when it comes to his nefesh, people who are lacking in their traits, people who are bad people, so then they'll think that the bad traits are good traits, and the good traits are bad traits. And a person whose nefesh is going in a bad way will always want excess. And excess, just like in the body, excess of anything is no good, so too in the nefesh, anything in excess is also no good. But a person whose nefesh is ill doesn't recognize that they're not good for him. And just like a person who is ill physically, when he recognizes he's ill and he's not a doctor, he's going to go and ask a doctor. And the doctor will guide him what he should do, what he should be careful not to eat, what he should be careful to eat, how he should act. And sometimes he'll tell him you have to eat certain medication that's bitter or certain foods that don't taste good until you get all better. So too, a person whose nefesh is ill, he should ask the chachamim. Their job is to help people heal their nefeshot. And they'll help him, they'll warn him what things are bad for his nefesh, even though he might at that point think they're good, and they'll help him heal himself. They'll help him fix the traits of his nefesh, as we'll explain in the following parak. He doesn't mean to eat, he means things that are healthy to do. But when a person's nefesh is ill, when a person's nefesh is not functioning properly, then he doesn't recognize that he's ill and he thinks he's healthy. Or sometimes he recognizes that he has to fix his traits, but he doesn't bother doing it, like many people who don't take care of their bodies. So then, the Rambam says the same thing that happens to a sick person who doesn't take care of his illness physically will happen to a person whose nefesh is ill and he doesn't take care of that. They both end up dying.
Does he identify some kind of... I mean, he's making a...
He's speaking in generalizations. And what?
Is there some line? Because clearly no person is at the point where they've reached perfection and they don't need to fix anything. So...
Physically also, no. Health isn't a static point. It's something you have to keep on working to achieve. Mm-hmm. Not like, oh, I'm healthy now. I can, now I'm healthy, I can eat Doritos, I can sleep all day.
So then, in that case, everybody's ill, so...
Not ill.
Well, I mean, right, not to be diagnosed as ill, as opposed to what he's saying here, right? He's talking about people who are past a certain point or actually they have some kind of word for that. What's up? Something nefesh, something... I don't know, anyway. He's saying people who are not in a more normal dynamic...
I don't know. I think that in many things that we learn, be it in Hashkafa or in Musar, the learning has to be cyclical. You start at a certain level and you say, okay, I have to fix A, B, and C. You fix them. You say, now I have to work on D, E, and F. Fix that. Now X, Y, Z. You fix that. Another two or three points. And then you feel, okay, I've gotten very, very far in the last few years. Look at where I am today. Look at where I was a few years ago. At that point, a person should start with ABC again. Because the level at which a person fixed ABC when he started off cannot be the level where it will remain. Presumably, a person keeps moving forward in life, and therefore a person can refine his traits even more. A person is always obligated to work harder and to refine even better. And, at one level, you say, gee, that person steals, that person is unfaithful, that person curses. Okay, fine. So the person works on himself. After a few years, he changes his nature and he makes good habits and he's an honest person and he doesn't curse. Now there's another level of how honest the person can be. And there's another level of how clean a person's speech can be. A person can always work to purify himself more. Sometimes we say, don't work on perfecting this trait because there's a different trait which is way down below. First bring that up to par, bring up a bunch of other traits, and then work on perfecting the traits. It's funny for a person to work on one specific trait when he has 15 other traits to work on. He's working on being meticulously honest when he's not eating kosher yet. Okay, so it doesn't make sense. They're both important. But a person has to work on balancing everything. But when you say, is everyone sick? I don't know if everyone's sick, but everyone has what to perfect.
Sorry, I didn't mean to say that.
What?
I didn't mean to say that.
What? You didn't say what?
I didn't mean to say that everyone is sick. I meant to say that everyone is... That's more accurately what I want to say. I'm trying to define the distinction that he's making, because he's talking about... It says the name of it, the title of the chapter is spiritual illness.
Yes, but I think that we're looking at it in a broad sense, and in a specific sense, it's true about everyone. Every person is going to have inclinations which are negative. And every person is going to have what to perfect in his nefesh, and until he does, there will be points which he will feel are very good. A good example of that is Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva came across a corpse. The corpse was lying in the heat in the desert. There was no one there to bury it. Took the corpse on his shoulder and started carrying it a long distance to bury it. And when he came to his Rebbeim, they said, for every footstep you're going to pay. You weren't allowed to move the corpse. The corpse should have been buried in its place. You pained the corpse by moving it such a great distance. So he was already on a level where he was learning Torah. He was already on a level where he knew you have to bury the person. And he wanted to honor the person. He wanted to do as best as possible. And still he messed up. So at every level, a person can do better. Yiftach wanted to be the best possible person. Did he recognize he was doing something evil by killing his own daughter? No, he thought he was being a big tzaddik. Just like Rabbi Akiva. For every step of the way, he thought he was being a big tzaddik. when a person doesn't know better, so he doesn't recognize that he's, so to speak, ill with his nefesh. And at any given point, the person doesn't recognize it. It takes the recognition that every person has certain things to fix for a person to be open to it, and then slowly to discover what there is to fix. But at every level, a person is going to feel, to some extent, I'm okay. That's not talking about me.
So I don't take back what I said.
Yeah, Rob, like in the Gemara talks,
you never have to take back what you said.
when you're religious and you're bringing up your son and tells you how to teach him Torah, you know, first from 5 years old to 10, learning Umar.
Tanakh, yeah.
Tanakh. And then he goes to the next 5 years to Mishnah. The next 5 years. So that's starting at the bottom of the ladder and learning everything you're supposed to learn. So people like most of us here, if we're not kids, we don't have a kid's way of learning and all that. But how much is good I feel at the beginning when I came to Israel, I was put into a Gemara class, and I didn't know anything about anything else, but I was trying to learn Gemara, and I wanted to learn Hebrew. I want to know, at what point does it help you to start learning how much basics do we learn before we get into going to the next level of learning? Or is it, at heart, most of us are here, haven't been brought up in a religious environment.
So I'd say I need the question quantified better, but I would like to let's just finish the chapter, right. Almost finished, and then let's discuss it, okay? The Rambam says there are people who recognize that they're not going in a proper way, but they enjoy being ill. There's a story that Rav Bar Ilan always quotes about a guy who comes to the priest, a woman comes to the priest, and she says, "Father, I have to confess." So he says, "Okay." So they go into that little room, whatever it's called, and she starts telling him, "I did this improper, I went with this man and with that man," and then she starts going into all the details, and he tells her, "I know, you've been coming here every Sunday for the last half a year telling me these stories. You're forgiven. Why are you coming back?" So she says, "Because every time I tell it to you, I enjoy it all over again." There's an aspect where a person enjoys the sin, and he doesn't even want to repent. I once said to a friend of mine, "I aspire to be on the level that I'll feel bad, that I'm not feeling bad, that I'm not feeling bad for being the way I am, for not fixing myself." And he told me that the Rebbe from Chabad said that if you could reach two levels, that's pretty good. If a person could feel bad, that he's not feeling bad about the way he is, then that's already a good person. That's what he told me. I don't know where the Rebbe says that. So, naturally, a person doesn't even want to do tshuva. A person's happy the way he is. Sometimes he doesn't like the way his life is running. So he wants to do things a little bit better. He wants to be part of a society. But how many of us really feel bad about what we did in the past? How many of us feel bad that we don't feel bad about what we've done, or that we're not better people? So the Rambam says that those people who sense that they're doing something wrong, that they're not along the proper path, and then they get drawn after their pleasures, they say, "I like that." So about that, the Torah says, "Ki b'shehut libi elech." That's a person who says, "I want to do what my heart feels like, what my heart sees and enjoys." And the person just wants to satiate himself. And that, like the Balei Musar always say, is like drinking salty water. A person who tries to satiate, to quench his thirst, his desire for worldly things, is going to be perpetually thirsty. It's impossible for a person to quench that thirst. Our sages say, "En adam met v'tavto biyado." Our sages say that King David erred in this. David HaMelech thought that if he only gives his Yetzer what it wants, then it'll leave him in peace. and he didn't know. The Gemara says the rule is ever katan yesh ba'adam. There's a small part of the small male organ, part of a human body. Masbio, if you try to satiate it, you give it to eat, rev, it's going to be even more hungry. Marivo, but if you keep it hungry, savea, will be content. The person has to know, not to think that if he indulges, then he'll be satiated. It doesn't work that way. So if a person feels like, yeah, I know I'm not going the right way, but I like it. So then the Rambam says he'll end up just making himself more thirsty. He'll always want more. But those who don't recognize that what they're doing is wrong, about them, Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, spoke a lot in the book of Mishlei. And he said, Derech Avil Yashar Be'enav, the way of a sinner seems right in his eyes. V'shomea Le'etzach Hacham. But the one who listens to advice is going to end up being a wise person. Meaning, if a person goes to the Chacham to teach him the proper way, not what he thinks is right. Because a person who's stuck in the rut of the way of his life, he's going to think the straight path is according to his way of seeing things. And that's why King Solomon says, Yesh derech yashar lifneish, there's a route which seems straight for a person, seems like a good path, v'achritabit, and then dachimavit, it'll bring death. All the people who signed Oslo thought they'd be giving murderers weapons. The day before they kidnapped that soldier, I don't hear news usually, but I was told that we gave weapons to the Palestinian Authority, to Hamas. We gave them weapons. So the fact that someone sees a certain path and thinks that that's right, that doesn't mean it's right. There are ways that a person thinks are straight, and then they're going to lead to death. And a person whose nefesh is not proper, he hasn't gone in the right path, he isn't following good traits, so he won't recognize what's good for him or not. And that's why Shlomo HaMelech said, Derech Resha'im Kafela, the ways of the wicked is like darkness. Lo yade'u b'mei yikashelu. They don't know about what they're going to stumble on. And therefore, the Rambam says, he's compiling this work, and we have our sages who gave us a strong tradition, Pirkei Avos, to guide us into finding the right path. Because if a person is left to his own whims, so because a person hasn't yet perfected himself, he won't be able to recognize which is the proper path. And therefore, the Rambam says, in the next chapter, I will illustrate how a person does heal his soul.
I'm not sure I understand what the second or the third, not feeling bad is, but I think somewhere in there was something about, I mean, when we're talking about the desire and the lack of reflectiveness or the willingness to kind of go along or enjoy some ways that were still not perfect, that one is still not perfect. So I also there may be some place for that, because I mean I'm just a little bit being argumentative, but I think the Magid of Mezrich was like always never feeding his Yetzer Hara. He was always fasting. He was always he only learned Torah, and he didn't eat and eat. And then he went to the Baal Shem Tov, and he saw the Baal Shem Tov was more balanced and was healthier. I mean, wasn't so aesthetic. Wasn't leading such an aesthetic lifestyle. And it was only after that that the Magid of Mezrich, after the Baal Shem Tov passed away, that he then ascended to like a more where he was able to teach a lot more. So, I mean, is there some use for like this? Aspect of ourselves that where we allow ourselves sort of happily to pass to make avirot that, I mean, hopefully that they're not too bad, but avirot that we have to kind of make in order to do tshuva, I guess.
You understand that you've left things very broad.
Right. I don't know if
I used to murder three people a day. I'm working on it. I'm down to two. Am I a better person or not? I used to murder three people a day. I'm working on it. I'm down to two.
I'm not sure that avivod is the word that I wanted to see.
Yeah, so just because he stopped, the Magid of Medrash didn't, wasn't that he was, that he wasn't sinning, he said, well, surely we're going to start sin now.
No, that's right. Avivod's not the right word.
There was no question that he was of sin in anything that he did. It wasn't like the Baal Shem Tov, the Baal Shem Tov just had a different emphasis on joy as opposed to self-mortification. But that wasn't, none of it involved anything, you could even call it dust of sin, I don't think.
I didn't follow yet where we're headed. I'm not, let me just ask you, is that pertaining to this? Because if not, then let's just go over the question and answer and see if someone else has something else. No, I don't mind dealing with this and getting to that. Micha, did you want something regarding this? Okay.